The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Why is the word deliverance a better translation than saved in the book of Romans? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, you can send your questions in through email. You can send to radio@faithalone.org. And that's what we've been doing for quite some time, is taking questions from listeners just like you. We look forward to seeing your questions. Well, let's jump right to this interesting one that we have for today about the word deliverance. I bet Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar have some interesting things to teach us about it. Here's Grace in Focus.
One of the things that we do in our ministry is we publish commentaries. That seems to be one of the biggest draws. Like, I think our best seller is the Grace New Testament commentary.
It is kind of encouraging that people really want to study the Bible. I know all of you who are listening, you love God's Word, and that's why you're listening.
With the Grace New Testament commentary, you always go back to it because you always have a question about this passage, that passage. You're not going to read it cover to cover at one sitting. It's more of a reference book that you use, right?
Right.
But we have other commentaries, too. One of them is a commentary by Zane Hodges on Romans. It was like a first draft. He didn't finish it before he died. But what he wrote in the first draft, for as much as he wrote, was very groundbreaking and very enlightening. And we highly recommend people read it.
And we did finish it. Actually, I finished it.
Yeah.
I think he got through the middle of chapter 14, and I completed chapter 14, 15, 16.
Right.
Using his theology, because he mentored me and everything else, and also trying to adopt his style of writing, which, with editing help, etc., it's hard to tell, I think, where he stops and where I start.
Right. So it's a completed commentary on Romans, and I think it's extremely helpful. And here is a question from Doug, and Doug says, I've been reading through Zane's commentary on Romans, and I've arrived at chapter 10. Around verse 10, it's stated that a believer, in this case probably Jewish, might need to confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus in order to be delivered from God's wrath. Before I go on with the question, do you want to just say a little bit about what that means, Romans 10:10?
Yes, let's read that.
It's a famous verse, and
it's famously misunderstood.
Well, that's it. And so Zane argues that it's actually, it doesn't mean what people usually think it means. And so here's what it says: for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And so what people often do is they take this verse as an evangelistic verse to tell someone how to be born again. And the application in this misunderstanding of the verse is that you need to believe and you need to confess with your mouth, and you need to do both things in order to be born again, something like that. Right.
And people go through gymnastics. If they don't believe that you have to actually give a verbal confession, or you have to raise your hand or sign a card or something, if they believe the only condition is faith, then they have to go through all kinds of gymnastics to explain what this confession is.
Right.
Well, this is really just confessing in your heart. And it's really just confessing to God that you believe in Him and you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior, something like that.
Right.
Or some people would say you believe in the deity of Christ. There's different ways people explain this. But the simplest answer is the Greek word soteria means deliverance. And Zane Hodges translates this, with the mouth confession is made unto deliverance.
Right.
And he said, if you study the whole book, the deliverance is from God's wrath. In Romans 1, 18 through 32, we see that.
The big idea that Zane has in this commentary is that Romans is not an evangelistic book per se. It's written to believers in Rome about how to get a specific kind of salvation. And the big idea is that Paul is concerned about salvation from God's wrath, because in chapter 1, verse 18, Paul says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Zane's theory is that Romans is all about deliverance, you know, salvation, deliverance from this wrath, right?
Well, yeah, and so let's look at verse 10. Actually, there's two parts to verse 10. The first part is, with the heart one believes unto righteousness. Now, he's not talking here about some kind of special faith, some kind of special heart faith. heart means the inner person. The scriptures use the term heart, or sometimes splanchne, which is basically your bowels, and they can use that for the inner person. And here, the term heart is referring to internally one believes, and notice the result, unto righteousness. Well, righteousness is the noun form of the word justify. So the person who believes is righteous.
Right.
They're justified.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, you don't have to do anything beyond that to be justified.
Yeah.
Romans 3 and 4 are real clear. Paul's talking about justification. By the way, guess how many times salvation occurs in Romans 3 and 4? Zero.
And that's really interesting, because when people think about what it means to be eternally saved, they immediately usually think about justification. It's interesting, though, that like you say, in the justification section of Romans, Paul never uses salvation that way.
Because Paul distinguishes. Salvation here is distinguished. Notice, you believe for justification and you confess for deliverance or for salvation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what is this salvation? Well, in the tribulation, the dispensation to come during the tribulation, if they are confessing the Lord, then they will be delivered and will survive.
Okay, okay. Stop right there, because this is Doug's question.
Right.
Here's what Doug wants to know about. I wonder if you can help me harmonize Romans 10:10 with 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Are these two different wraths, one present and one future? Otherwise, how is it that a believer would need to be delivered from something he hasn't been appointed to?
Okay, this is good. 1 Thess 5:9 is talking about the tribulation.
Now, you were just talking about the tribulation, so connect these things to me.
Okay, well, the difference is, in Romans, Paul is writing to people in the church age about the fact that they too can be delivered from wrath, but it's a different wrath. Instead of the wrath of the tribulation, it's wrath that's poured out now, but they're both wrath that's in time. We call it temporal wrath.
Right.
So they're related, but they're not exactly the same thing.
Right. And to defend that idea that in Romans, Paul is talking about wrath that you can experience in time right now, I'm thinking about what he says about the government in Romans 13. And what Paul says is, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there's no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. And in verse 4, he says, for he, the governing authorities, is God's minister to you for good, for if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. Now listen to this. For he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil.
Right.
Now, when is that wrath experienced?
In this life.
Right now.
Yeah.
You know, you get arrested by the police and you get charged with crimes. You're experiencing God's wrath as mediated through the governing authorities. But just because wrath is present now doesn't mean there's also an eschatological wrath, a tribulation wrath, a special expression of God's wrath that's coming.
Right, exactly. I would point to one other thing. A lot of people misunderstand what it means in Romans 5, 9, and 10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Hodges argues, and I think he makes a terrific point here, this is not talking about a one-time crying out to the Lord.
Oh, and by the way, it's Romans 10. You said Romans 5.
I'm sorry, Romans 10. 10, mm-hmm. 9, and 10. It's not a one-time calling out to the Lord. This is the believer who is regularly gathering together with other believers in corporate worship, and together they are confessing the Lord. They're basically crying out to the Lord on a regular basis as part of the believing community. And so those are the believers who are going to be delivered. And in fact, at the end of Romans 11, he says, then all Israel will be saved. Romans 11:26.
Uh-huh.
That doesn't mean they're all going to be born again. After all, there will be children in Israel, and they're going to be delivered into the kingdom too.
Mm.
What it means is the nation is going to be delivered from Gentile oppression. Now, all of the adults will be believing, and they'll also not only be believing, they'll be in fellowship. They'll be a repentant nation. But what the deliverance is in Romans 10:9 and 10 is deliverance from judgment and wrath in this life.
Right.
And for the church age person, that's not the tribulation.
So what is it that's special about confession, confessing the Lord together, that would make you avoid God's wrath?
Well, there's something about being part of the believing community that strengthens you and strengthens your faith. Hebrews 10:23-25 talks about that. We're encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching.
Right.
And so we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That's true in the church age. It will even be true during the tribulation. Now, the difference is what Doug was asking about in 1 Thess 5:9. 1 Thess 5:9 is simply saying that church age believers will be delivered from the coming wrath, the tribulation wrath, by us being taken out of the earth. That's different than Romans 10:9-10, both now and in the tribulation. Now it's basically saying, look, if we're part of the believing community, we're going to be walking in fellowship with God, and we're going to escape the wrath of God that comes upon both believers and unbelievers who are walking in sin and who are walking in rebellion against Him, who are, as Paul says, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. It's also different than the believers, Jewish and Gentile, during the tribulation, who will be gathering together corporately, and they will be delivered from premature death so that they can survive the tribulation, and they will be chosen to rule with Christ during the millennium. And of course, the believers who do survive the tribulation will be those who are faithful.
Hmm.
And we know that from Matthew 24:13-22.
Interesting. Good thoughts, Bob. And thank you, Doug, for the challenging question. If you want to read more about what's going on in Romans, pick up a copy of Zane Hodges' Romans Deliverance from Wrath. And if you want to know more about what's happening in 1 Thessalonians, we're actually having a regional conference that's coming up. If you can't make it to the conference, we are going to have the audio at our website, faithalone.org, which you'll be able to listen to for free. Be sure to check those resources out.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you like to grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture? Well, that's our mission for you. And one of the best ways to do that, we think, is for you to come to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org, and get involved. We've got free daily blog posts that if you get subscribed, completely hassle-free, they'll show up in your inbox. Those that read them are enriched on a daily basis. So come visit us at faithalone.org. You may be interested in becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society, the organization that puts on this radio show. You can find out how to do that and give tax-deductible gifts at faithalone.org. Maybe you have a question or a comment or some feedback, and if you do, that's great. We would love to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. You can get us day or night, radio@faithalone.org. On our Monday episode, can we personally apply the Old Testament promises, or do only New Testament promises apply today? I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.